96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, amid violent protests, arrests, and even some inquiries, Donald J. Trump today became the nation's 45th president before throngs of supporters. President Trump painted a bleak picture of America with an unapologetic tongue lashing of what he called Washington's longtime leaders. Trump said, "For far too long, a small group in our nation has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost." In his 16-minute address, Trump, who has the lowest approval rating of any incoming president, went on to vow that from this day forward, a new vision will govern America, one that puts only America first. What are your thoughts on the new administration, Mr. Trump's speech, the protest? And how are you feeling about the future? We want to hear from you as well as talk with our panel of experts to get their perspective. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, or join us on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Joining us to talk about all of the day's events, Harold Fisher, host of the Daily Drum, who has been on assignment today covering the inaugural festivities, Deborah Simmons, reporter for The Washington Times, and Dr. Michael Fontroy, associate professor of political science at Howard University. Again, we'd like to hear from you, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Harold Fisher,
hey.
Since this is your show, I must start with you.
I appreciate that.
And you were out there in the rain, among the supporters, damp, cold, but we have a new president.
Yes, we do.
Give me your thoughts on what you saw, what you heard.
Oh, let me say, first of all, it was damp and it was cool, not as cold as it was in 2009. Mm-hmm. The weather compared to that was balmy. Okay. But let us also say that I would go so far as to say that the supporters were not quite as balmy as those supporters for Barack Obama in 2009. I think that while they were pleased with, you know, their pick of Donald Trump, I did not see the kind of joyous, energetic, muscular expressions while people were standing in line. I started off at just outside of Federal Center Southwest at Third and C. And it was really kind of subdued. Mm-hmm. And certainly there weren't as many people as there were either in 2009 or 2013.
Deborah Simmons.
Yes, sir.
Celebrity apprentice, businessman, no experience in the military, no experience in government, yet he is the president. We've all talked about what will it be like once he's sort of in the hot seat, and we know tomorrow we really will dig into that. But what were your thoughts on the day, what Mr. Trump had to say, the atmosphere, what Harold is talking about, the crowd that was there?
Right. One of the things that struck me was, of course, the protests, and I'd like to talk, definitely talk to that for sure, but that people this year, as opposed to being on a celebratory, historical type of, I want to be there, like folks were at the King's March, which like people are expected to do at the Women's March on Saturday, and the folks at guys at the Million Man March. This, I thought, folks were on a mission because he's their guy. On the one hand, and then upsetting that, which is what I was getting alerts about throughout the day and started first thing in the morning before even Trump took the microphone, was the violence that was going on. That was very disturbing. Now, our police department was ready. They were ready. And there's going to be backlash about the mass arrest. They didn't need to do it and yada, yada, what they do all the time here in D.C. What really punctuated it for me, however, other than that gorgeous outfit Melania
she
Trump
did
had
look
on,
nice.
She had.
That's another show, right?
Yes, she did.
So, Harold, that's next week.
Absolutely.
A few words that Trump said, and that's his Make America Great Again, which raises the question, as Mr. Fauntroy has already pointed out to me, when does he think America was great? So what will he mimic, which addresses the future? And then the fact that President Obama says, my words here, take a deep breath. This is only a comma. Because things are going to change. And he didn't say that to us at the official inaugural events, but he did speak it to folks when he was leaving Andrews Air Force Base today.
Yeah. Michael, go right ahead.
I just want to add, one of the things that struck me as I'm listening to his remarks is he is either militantly ignorant about public policy or militantly naive about how the process works. Okay, in government, a whole bunch of people have to have their hands in something to make sure it can get across the finish line. In business, if you have the leverage, you just use it and you move on. And I just don't yet know if he understands that you just can't point to somebody and say, do it, and necessarily expect it to get done. And so he's going to have to confront a reality that's going to really be harsh for him, and that is he's got to display some patience that he has yet heretofore to show. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do that, then we could get off the rails pretty quickly. Now, he has a Republican Senate, and he has a Republican House, just as Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and President Barack Obama had in their first 2 years. They all lost it for a variety of reasons, and we'll see what President Trump does with his united government going forward.
Speaking to what you're talking about, it's not even about a Republican House or a Democratic House. There are institutions that he does not appear to understand. And the reality is that Congress is slow, some would argue deliberate.
Congress is always slow.
and like you're saying, that's going to be a really rude awakening.
That's what I'm saying. Either you're naive about how things work or you just don't care. Yeah. And if you don't care, I'm telling you, the structure here forces you into certain things that you did not anticipate.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. January 20th, this is the day Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States. What do you think about that? You knew it was coming. It
right.
was here. Right? What do we think about his speech? Deborah Simmons, it only went 16 minutes.
Yeah, thank goodness he couldn't tweet it.
And I want us to sort of talk about that. The brevity of it, is that a good thing? And is it more about what you say or how short it is? But let's go to the phone lines. Let's hear what the people think. Let's go to Kiana calling from Northern Virginia. Go right ahead, Kiana.
Hi. I just wanted to say that, honestly, I didn't really tune in too much of the inauguration today. But what I've seen today on social media and some friends who were at the protest, I'm just really excited for people who did vote for him to be disappointed, because it was a study that I saw that all of the states that he got the majority vote in, those are the states that actually have the most people get the affordable health care, the Obamacare. So I just don't understand. I think that they're as hypocritical as he is. I very much so agree with Michael with what he said about how I think Trump just thinks as president, he can snap his fingers and, you know, a law will come into place. That's not how it works. And it has worked for any president. You have to go through certain channels, the proper channels. And I think that that's what he thinks. And I'm just excited for reality to hit him and for him to know that, yes, you are president, but there are other people who have to say as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Kiana. The part of the reality, Deborah, is what took place today. The chief said, listen, we had these protests sort of isolated. There were certain areas, but these folks were bringing bricks, right?
Yeah.
They were bringing rocks.
It was frightening.
They were bringing bottles.
Gas masks.
Right. You know, the police did not use, they said, a tear gas, but they did have to use pepper spray. So the reality is that Donald Trump may have to face this throughout his presidency, wherever he goes, whether it's here in America or overseas. Your thoughts on the protests in terms of their effectiveness, or because the protesters said, look, this is what we wanted to do. We wanted to cause havoc.
Right. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead. Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to say briefly, I think it had its desired effect, not just freedom of speech per se, but it got the attention of the media. It was lifted to, I think, the same level of coverage, at least locally, and certainly we can say on CNN and MSNBC that people were watching. You had split screens in some cases where you had the protests over here and you still had the inauguration ceremonies over here. Again, we didn't see that in 2009. We didn't see that in 2013.
We didn't see the hell raising in
exactly.
2009 and 2013.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And if they start, here's the problem. If you're going to spend your energy, your time, your resources going around the country raising hell, then America really has a problem. Because that means you're not at the table. You're not even explaining to anybody other than yourself why you're out there raising Cain. Why are you out there? What's the problem? What are you fussing about?
Well, we could talk about going to the table, and I know Harold has talked about this week with who's at the table. Jim Brown, should he be at the table? Should Steve
Absolutely.
Harvey be at the table? And that's part of the conversation. But Dr. Fontroy, I want to dive a little bit into the president's speech, 16 minutes long. Mm-hmm. I've seen it described as dark, stark, fierce, uninspiring. How would you describe it?
Well, I would first put it in the context of history. The overwhelming majority of inauguration speeches are forgettable. Mm-hmm. And while people are up in arms about this one, 6 months from now, I don't think most people are even going to remember what he said. So it was at times dark. It was at times disconnected from the reality of things. You know, our economy is much better than he paints it to be, as an example. But ultimately, these are sort of chips that are cast out to your supporters. He is not well-versed in political history. And everything is a campaign speech for him. Mm-hmm. And this was typical of that. So, I don't think it's the kind of thing that moved anybody. I don't think it's the kind of thing that shaped anybody. There's no ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country kind of moment. And by the way, that's a high bar, and I wouldn't expect everyone to meet it. And he's not a great speaker. So, we get what we get, and we'll see where we go from here.
I think this speech, hold
your thought.
Oh, go ahead.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the new president, his inaugural address, where he goes from here. Let's go to the phone line, to the other Harold online. Go right ahead, Harold.
Good afternoon, folks. How you guys doing? And Harold, listen to your show every day. One of my concerns that I liked, or what I want to bring to the attention was, and my question was, I the protesters and whatnot, and it goes to show you how, I give the police department congratulations on the restraint that they show, but it seems like, I looked at the damage that was being caused, and it looked like it was being caused by white America, destroying the limousines, busting out windows, and stuff, but they were allowed to do so. When you look at some of the peaceful protests that Black Lives Matter had and some of the other protests going around the country with the shootings of African-American males, how they were antagonized, how the police forces did not show restraint, firing tear gas, shooting, arresting, and outright attacking the protesters. And I'm just, you look at the contrast between, when white folks get a chance to protest and you look at African-Americans who do go out peacefully without throwing the rocks and bottles are attacked. And I just think the media should start looking at this. For future events, that police departments can show restraint. And maybe they need to look at some of the things that went on at this inauguration to show that police departments don't have to be as forceful and antagonistic as they are sometimes at other events around the country.
All right. Thank you so much, Harold. He brings up a good point. Donald Trump talked about what he wanted to do with police, more support of police. And I want to play a clip of where he talked about the issue of crime.
The crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Now, Harold, he has been talking about that, but he was very declarative in this speech. It's going to stop. So where does he start? Does he start in that Chicago, the hellhole of the places where many, he said, African-Americans have been living for far too long?
I think this was Back to the Future, because I think this speech, the 16-minute speech, was the mini-me of his acceptance speech in Cleveland. They're both dark. They're both, I can stop it, I can do it. It's the same exact speech, just in miniature. And I think it was red meat for his supporters then. It's red meat for his supporters now.
We are talking about the new president, Donald Trump, his inaugural address, the things that went on around it, the protest in D.C. The lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Debbie, if you are on the line, stay right there. Kenneth, we will also get to you. Again, we're talking about our country, our new president. Where do we go from here? The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I am Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR.